kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, October 18, 2023. Let's begin by saying, please support the network. Your support is greatly appreciated. This is a network that is entirely listener-supported, to my knowledge. I guess maybe, you know, to be completely forthcoming, I have to say that it's not a network that's supported by the, you know, grants from the Ford Foundation or Bloomberg or et cetera, et cetera. There's no Knight Foundation grant to support Republic Broadcasting Network. Likely never will be. For obvious reasons. For example, you know, the subject matter of the last hour, that is not in the, you know, best interests of those foundations and their efforts to consolidate power and wealth in keeping with Cecil Rhodes' last will and trust. So probably won't ever see a, you know, a Rockefeller Foundation grant at RBN. And dare I say, if that ever were to happen, it would probably be time not to listen anymore, because as Mark Twain observed, you show me where a man gets his corn pone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. So it's a listener supported network. Your support is greatly appreciated. There are the faithful, and so thank you for your support. And if you have not or do not currently, but you find the content on Republic Broadcasting Network valuable, please consider supporting the network. Hopefully that's enough. You know what I'm saying. So we're talking about the traditional way where America gets to war. As a background, I started with Pike's letter. It's been in my mind for the last couple of days. There is this letter allegedly from Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini, when things like whatever happened on October 7, 2023 happen, I always think of that letter. It's interesting, there's this controversy that persists. You know, it's the letter is dubious, it's spurious, it's apocryphal, whatever you want to call it. It's not legitimate. Okay. I'm willing to concede that, but I think it's very interesting. If we start there, then how do we explain the fact that the letter was known? Cardinal Rodriguez wrote about it in 1925. It was written about in 1920, and it's been acknowledged publicly as whether it's a fraud or not, it's been publicly acknowledged since the late 19th century, about 1896. So that would predate the First World War. So how do we explain that? And so as a backdrop of saying, well, maybe it's a fraud, maybe it's a forgery, but, you know, it's possible that it was put out. It's an authentic letter put out through sources like Leo Taxel in order to try to discredit the message and by association, any messenger that would say, well, this is weird. Here's some document that seems to foreshadow the events that we see happening now. And at this point, it's 150 years later. That's interesting. We've known about it since before the first event, big event in question, that being the World War, you know, World War One in particular. We've known about it since before that, forgery or not. So that's curious. So what about the possibility that it was put out, it's legitimate, it's authentic, although its authorship, you know, it's genuine, authentic authorship is occluded, perhaps put out and published through questionable, at best, sources like Leo Taxel in order to discredit the message and in turn, again, the messenger, but put it out and have it rattling around and have people marinating in this idea that sort of normalizes, you know, kind of a revelation of the method type of a deal. I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility. I think of the protocols in the same sort of fashion. Nah, that's a total fraudulent document. Okay, well, how are things moving precisely along an agenda that seems to match up with it? This fraudulent document. That's amazing. Can someone please explain that to me? I'm perfectly willing to concede that, you know, this thing, Pike's letter to Mazzini is a fraud, the protocols are a fraud. How do we explain that history is following those directives? How do we explain that? Who is pulling strings to make history follow forged or fraudulent documents, spurious apocryphal documents? How is that possible? Isn't anyone curious? So as, you know, exhibit A, B, and C in the possibility that things could be orchestrated in ways that people do not understand, let alone perceive, I was giving some examples in hour one. Let me just give you the high-level version, which I said I would do and I didn't completely, but I would start with Patrick Claussen. You know, what's in a word? Why the word episode? Why in the clip that we played does he use the word episode, the Lusitania episode, the Gulf of Tonkin episode? Holy smokes. He's telling you that, you know, I frankly think crisis initiation is really tough, which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, the Iranians are not going to compromise, which means what? The traditional way America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. And there, where he says U.S. interests, you have to insert Howard Zinn on patriotism. Anyway, so if in fact the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war. Wow. That's astonishing. So you start there and you move over to Quigley, respected macro historian Carol Quigley. Bill Clinton said that Carol Quigley was one of his mentors at Georgetown. Bill Clinton said it himself. And in the Anglo-American establishment, the Amazon book description reads, Quigley exposes the secret society, people who say, oh, you can't just plan wars. You can't just plan to get people into war. Well, we heard Patrick Claussen say that's the traditional way America gets to war, is to plan it and then provoke it through strategy of tension episodes. Like I said, LIHOP, HIHOP, MIHOP, those are acronyms for let it happen on purpose, help it happen on purpose, make it happen on purpose. There are high-profile examples, like I said earlier, of, you know, Brzezinski, for example, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, bragging about doing that with the Soviets, provoking them, helping it happen on purpose, provoking the Soviets to invade Afghanistan. We heard Wes Clark make incidental reference to the 1991 Shia uprising as a similar event. In the clip that we played earlier, there are three, Clausen, Brzezinski, and Wes Clark. There are three high-profile examples right there. And that would completely, if we really understood those, it would completely change our view of military service and what has happened regarding, let's just say, United States foreign policy over the last 50 years or so. So Quigley, the Amazon book description for the Anglo-American establishment reads, Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891, around the same time period as this letter. What do you know? We knew about it since 1896. And at the same time, you got these guys getting together, secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time, would that include the same wars in question from Pike's letter, were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. And so those are kind of the high level points I would, you know, Patrick Clausen, the traditional way America gets to war. Quigley, Carol Quigley, the Anglo-American establishment, posthumously published. Why? Because he wanted to, you know, not have an accident. When the book was published, I don't want to, you know, fall down and bump my head. So I'll just wait until I die, live a nice long life and die a natural death, and then we'll publish it. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created. From what time? From 1891. Including two world wars that the world has acknowledged. When as such, there was no such thing, historically speaking. So those are Exhibit A and B. Patrick Clausen, the traditional way America gets to war. Exhibit A. Exhibit B, Carol Quigley's The Anglo-American Establishment, explaining how all the wars from 1891 forward were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. That's A and B. And then C would probably be you know, just about anything that James Perloff wrote, but certainly The Shadows of Power, Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline. That's an important one. And Truth is a Lonely Warrior, Unmasking the Forces Behind Global Destruction. That's another essential read. There are others, obviously. You know, speaking of Iran and the traditional way. It's just so crazy. The traditional way America gets to war. William Bloom's books are also essential reading. Peter Dale Scott, on and on. William, you know, Jonathan Quitney, Gary Webb. We're starting to get into the weeds and stuff, but, you know, William Bloom, America's Deadliest Export Democracy, Rogue State, A Guide to the World's Only Superpower, Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Intervention Since World War II. Amazing stuff. You know, I've mentioned, speaking of William Bloom's Killing Hope, I usually go to the table of contents. So, speaking of Iran, Chapter 9, Iran, 1953, Making It Safe for the King of Kings. And you know, that's just chapter 9 out of 56 chapters. So all of the, you know, Rand Corporation calls it nation building. But there's always a destabilization operation, you know, nation building. You stabilize and reconstruct in your own image, like Wes Clark said. I think he's playing dumb like a fox. He knows more than he lets on. So this is, you know, American foreign policy and the traditional way America gets to war. There's saber rattling and all of that. So these would be the entries I would offer to those who would say, you know, Pike's letter to Mazzini, it sounds, I mean, you're saying that people would plan wars. Yeah, I mean, it's the god of war is at the heart of it. Pike was a Luciferian by his own admission, a Satanist. All steeped in the occult and esoteric, obviously. And so, you know, the god of war ultimately is at the heart of those plans, Satan himself. So we can't ignore that. But, you know, for those who don't want to go that high in the conspiracy, so to speak, there are these other entries that we have, and there are many, many others. These are, I think, some fairly high-profile examples. So I'll leave that there, and, you know, I think we'll dive into the Pike letter a little bit more, because the history of it is interesting, and the, you know, the books and references to it, kind of like the protocols. You're not supposed to talk about it, but once it's in your head, it's frequency bias or frequency illusion, Bader-Meinhof kind of thing. You see it everywhere. So that's interesting. But you're not supposed to talk about it. The ultimate form of gaslighting, you know. Was it Elijah Wood? I see dead people. Was it him? Or no, it was it Haley Joel Osment, I think? I see dead people. Guess what, Bruce Willis? You're a dead person, and you don't even know it. I guess that's maybe the timing of making that remark is perhaps... maybe that's ill-timed. Talking about the movie, obviously. So, I think I can leave that there. We will return to the subject of Pike's letter later. I'm just saying, you know, for the last couple of days in particular, I've been thinking, especially since... You know it's going to keep happening, because, I mean, that's the theme of this letter and this effort to collide these people groups together. I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know, so every time I see something like whatever happened on October 7th, which seems to be a complete put-up job, and speaking of faces of the enemy, let me just mention some of the videos that we can see in this ridiculous charade. I have a playlist for those. How many videos? 82 videos so far. Israel forms war cabinet as Gaza runs out of fuel, power, and food. That was Channel 4 News last week. And of course, we get all these images, you know. Isn't it amazing how everything is real time now? Israel forms war cabinet immediately in the wake of this nonsense, even though, you know, they were unprepared, but now they're prepared immediately. It's amazing. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Welcome back. All right, speaking of some of the videos, just to, you know, underscore the point that all the world is a stage. It's theater. Speaking of Shakespeare and so forth, some of the videos... in this playlist, let's see. All the World's a Stage, Shakespeare's play As You Like It. All the World's a Stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. You notice that if you're paying attention, you notice that war is not called war anymore. It's called theater. And there are actors, state and non-state actors, and so on and so on. Is it just a coincidence? Anyway, some of the videos in the playlist. Maybe we should play this one. The Jason A. Channel. What's going on? 2023, 2024. Yeah, I'll throw this one in. So, on that, just some of the things that kind of make you go, hmm. So we are led to believe Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, and Mossad, Israeli intelligence, were caught completely off guard. Oh, my goodness. We didn't know, even though there was a stand down on about, 70 kilometers of fence. How did Hamas forces know? How did they know when and where exactly? I mean, let's just pretend that that's real. That means, I think you can't argue really that if that were the case, then Mossad would be infiltrated at the highest levels. Let's just pretend maybe they were caught off guard and somehow Hamas knew real time 70 kilometers of fence was open and vulnerable. Wouldn't that have to be a, either military and intelligence has been compromised, the information, how did these guys intercept that information, or there's somebody working on the inside that said, okay, here's where it's going to be. It's one or the other. I can't imagine that would be the case. More likely, the scenario is the traditional way that, America and everyone else gets to war. Like Patrick Clausen said, which is false flag. IDF and Mossad knew where the 70 kilometers of vulnerability was, knew about the forces being trained because they've been keeping a close eye on Hamas since the beginning, And that's the way you do it. Israel is no stranger to false flag operations, obviously, and terrorism. Some of the most high-profile leaders Christopher Bolin has done a pretty remarkable job of pointing these things out to us. David Ben-Gurion, for example, we must use terror, assassination, intimidation, land confiscation, and the cutting of all social services to rid the Galilee of its Arab population. If I didn't know better, I would say that's pretty much exactly what is happening. Scorched earth, carpet bombing in Gaza. That's what it looks like. And as I mentioned yesterday, Menachem Begin, similar remarks. And the terrorist roots of Bibi Netanyahu's Likud party. Menachem Begin saying, they are the fathers of terrorism in all the world. They're no stranger to that. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Nahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, October 18, 2023. The big picture is, you know, there is an agenda. We are, the big, big picture is we are being moved, nudged You know, we're in the current of this effort to return to Genesis 11 to finish the great unfinished work. That, you know, is the devil's great reset. God did a great reset in Genesis 6. Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 3 that there's another great reset coming. The real great reset will be by fire this time. Hot enough to consume the elements. That's pretty hot, which I think is why the Kurzweilians want to escape that. You know, they've been taking their hallucinogenics and imagining that information is outside the bounds of time and space, and so maybe we can escape the fire. So, you know, we'll download our consciousness into something somewhere, and in so doing, you know, escape the fiery judgment. Genesis 11 redo, that's the big plot. And I think Pike's letter outlines a strategy to point people in that direction so that we all come together singing Kumbaya and a false Christ emerges on the scene. That's kind of the biblical scenario that you see in the book of Revelation, certainly also in Daniel and other places in the Bible. So that's the big picture. And Israel and Saudi Arabia are big parts of that. Speaking of Pike's letter, those, when Cardinal Rodriguez and the other author, The Cause of World Unrest, that author, when those books were published in 1925 and 1920 respectively, there was no Saudi Arabia. There was no Israel. But as we know, Theodore Herzl said at the first Zionist Congress in 1897, again, same time as the letter. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? You know, first time is happenstance, second time is coincidence, third time is enemy action kind of stuff. You know, all these coincidences piling up around that time, and people want to say, nah, it couldn't be here. It's not here. I'm going to look way over there where, you know, that doesn't make sense to look over there and see I'm not finding anything. No, you shouldn't be looking over there. You got all these coincidences piling up at your feet. Why are you looking over there? Like Mike Rogers said about Benghazi, you know, the first thing you learn as a young FBI agent is there are coincidences, but they're not likely. Got a lot of coincidences of timing, you know, mentions of things around the same time, the late 19th century through the 1890s in particular. And what do you know? Events over the last 130 years or so have just happened to coincide with all of those efforts and things that we know that have been disclosed. Amazing. So, you know, speaking of Israeli false flag operations, it's interesting that there are a lot of, you know, all of the fact checkers are out. PolitiFact, Snopes, you know, there's a post on Snopes, for example. Video shows crisis actors in Israel after Hamas attacks. The claim spread following attacks launched by Hamas. How do we know? On Israel in October 2023, a video authentically showed crisis actors pretending to be victims of Hamas attack in Israel. And so Snopes says this is miscaptioned. In early October 2023, a video began to spread on social media which claimed to show crisis actors in Israel pretending to be victims of Hamas attacks. Same tactics as we've seen in the Ukraine conflict with the picture you've probably seen. It's all over social media. By the way, speaking of social media, we all know about Operation Earnest Voice, astroturfing campaigns, and sock puppets. We know about that, right? So Snopes says we found the video was originally posted on TikTok in April 2022, more than a year before the surprise attack on Israel. I think that's the most close to the most honest way to put it, the surprise attack on Israel. But Was it really a surprise? Why was there a stand down? Who knew the fence, the 70 kilometers, was vulnerable at that particular moment? Aren't there, isn't anyone curious? A lot of questions. So this kind of stuff floats around. But also, there's the PolitiFact post, the 2023 Israel-Hamas war. Is that what it is? Really? Is a false flag, quote unquote. And again, there are these kinds of sound bites that oversimplify, that are a reductive representation of things, and people get sucked into these limited hangouts that are designed to get people infighting and make sure that they, you know, it's the technique of infamy, inventing two lies and getting you arguing heatedly over which one is true. But curious things emerge in these sometimes, like the PolitiFact post 2023 Israel-Hamas war is a false flag. Based on the Instagram post, that's how this PolitiFact, the basis of this PolitiFact fact check. Yeah, right. So, you know, in this, it reads, thousands of people have been killed or injured amid fighting between Israel and Hamas, which I think is a dubious statement as well. And recent online claims that the militant group's October 7 attack on the country is a false flag defies reality. That's what the PolitiFact post reads. But here's, it gets interesting. Just wait. So it defies reality, but then in the same post, scroll down a little bit, intelligence agencies do launch false flag operations, but other than social media rumors, we found no credible evidence to support claims that the current Israel-Hamas war is one. And in this, well, the next paragraph after what I just read reads, as we've reported, and reported is linked to another PolitiFact post, as we've reported, actual false flag plots in history appear to have been outpaced in recent years by dubious conspiracy theories that label real events as false flags that in turn were allegedly used to justify the expansion of government powers. That line of thinking, and line of thinking took off, is linked to an article, How 9/11 Attacks Helped Shape Modern Misinformation. That line of thinking took off after September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks spawned a new war overseas and scaled up surveillance state. So we need to define and properly divide terms. False flag is one thing, but, you know, some of this other stuff where you create your enemy in Machiavellian fashion and turn them loose, that's a different thing. And that, you know, again, if you understand the nuances of the Afghan Mujahideen, you just go to Operation Cyclone. We heard Wes Clark in the clip that we played in the first hour talk about the 1991 Shia uprising, where he said, which we had provoked, and then we kept our troops on the sidelines and didn't intervene. So, you know, that's a four-star general, former NATO Allied Supreme Commander, telling you, here's an example of that. And that's the, you know, that's the plausibly deniable way to commit false flags, so to speak. You think of the Afghan Mujahideen, for example. You go to Operation Cyclone on Wikipedia. There it is. Super expensive CIA operation back when $600 million was something. And the CIA and friends recruit these radical Muslims. Why? And they radicalize them, actually, in Wahhabi Salafi fashion, which continues. PBS Frontline has done a great job of that, talked about that a lot recently. Great job of exposing that from November 2001 to this day, basically. I think they've done a great job at PBS Frontline of exposing that. You know, that Saudi Arabia is the wellspring of Wahhabi, Salafi, radical fundamentalism that is used in all of these groups. As the Wikipedia entry for the Salafi movement used to read before that entire section titled Views on Extremism was deleted, curiously, after one of these broadcasts all those years ago. Anyway, Wes Clark talked about it. So you go to Operation Cyclone, you see, you read up on that, you read Brzezinski's admission in that interview. That you could find over at Counterpunch still. I'm just double checking. Yeah, still there, January 15, 1998. How Jimmy Carter and I started the Mojahideen. That's a Q&A with Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. And so Brzezinski said, according to the official version of history, CIA aid to the Mujahideen began during 1980, that is to say after the Soviet army invaded, but in December 24, 1979, but the reality secretly guarded until now is completely otherwise. Indeed, it was July 3rd, 1979 that Jimmy Carter signed the first directive for secret aid to the opponents of the pro-Soviet regime in Kabul. And that very day, I wrote a note to the president in which I explained to him that, in my opinion, this aid was going to induce a Soviet military intervention. And so then he responds to a follow-up question, and Brzezinski says, "We didn't push the Russians to intervene, but we knowingly increased the probability that they would." So it's not false flag per se, but they went and they talked to these Afghani people, and we said, the Russians are coming. Don't worry. We'll protect you from the Ruskies. We'll train you. We'll equip you. We'll be here by your side to fight them off. And then this provocation has the intended desired effect that Brzezinski intimates, and then, like you heard Wes Clark say, we pull out, leave them high and dry. What would you think in that situation? And then if you find out later, you read this interview, for example, and you find out later that is exactly what you intended to have happen, that you wanted to create chaos and that these people were cannon fodder for your little secret plan, how would you feel about that? Probably be upset. Probably be upset with those people, wouldn't you? More upset with those people than the other guys. But most Americans don't understand this nuance. So that's what's been happening. And, you know, call it proxy war or whatever you want. It's really not false flag per se. But this is the way that these conflicts are created. And part of the backdrop that I tried to present last week and even this week is that Israel has been instrumental in creating Hamas, and that includes, you know, it's an acknowledged, established fact that that includes hospitals, churches, universities, and schools. Why would you do that? So that at this moment, once you declare your friend to be an enemy, and then you do something like this, whether it's false flag or, you know, something more along the lines of the Mujahideen situation, either way, you use that as a legitimation to do what we've seen as a response, the Israeli response. And then you can go scorched earth and carpet bomb, because you say, well, they're everywhere. They've infiltrated everything. Schools, you know, mosques, universities, hospitals, they're everywhere. Yeah, that's because you help them do that. you called them the you called them a charity. But we don't remember these things. Anyway, we need to get to the phones. Hopefully that all makes sense. We'll come back to it. Jay in Los Angeles, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going? I agree with everything you're saying. I was wondering, do you think the Hamas leader that's coming out talking about how, you know, how well it was planned and they kept it only to five people knowing what was going on, do you think that he's just part of this whole thing, or is he just an idiot that they kind of let off a cliff? You know, they let him think that they didn't know and were planning on using this the whole time.
I don't imagine that you could be that perfect and not be part of the deal. I mean, isn't Zelensky an actor? Isn't he an actor?
Right, right.
There is the video, one of the, this isn't a direct answer, maybe I'll answer it directly, but, you know, it reminds me of, where is that? There's that video I saw the other day. So, you know, we're led to believe that Israel is caught off guard, and then we're seeing everything in real time. We're seeing the Hamas alleged stuff in real time, the Israel stuff in real time. And I saw this one, where is that? This crazy video. Where is that? Is it titled Firefight, I think? Something like that? No. There's a video. Where is that? You know, you got to ask yourself, who's behind the camera in these situations?
Sure.
And, you know, the guy that you're talking about, I mean, it's perfect timing. And what he's saying is, it's, you know, to me, it's like the choose your own adventure kind of explainer. Let me explain what's going on. You know, who does that? Who telegraphs like that and says, here's what we did and here's exactly what is the purpose of doing that?
I thought so too. Is it taking interviews and stuff? It's weird.
So when you have a situation like this, wouldn't an attack like this be a primer or a pretext for the next thing? You would think that if we're really going to try to exterminate Israel, then why do we do this little tiny thing that provokes a reaction and everyone gets upset? Terrorism is theater just like it's supposed to be. They're not going to the next thing. They're just telling you all about this thing. And it's a way to, you know, his remarks basically are going to bring fire down upon innocent people and sort of justify that. So still looking for that video.
So do you think that let's assume this was all theater, which I think it was too. I think it's all been orchestrated. Do you think that the point was really to wipe them out? And is the end game the Third Temple? Do you think they even care about that? I don't understand why a bunch of like atheistic fake Jews care about making a Third Temple.
Exactly. Exactly. Great point. You know, the revisionist Zionism contingent, they only mention that language only comes up as a justification to draw in, let's just, you know, say naive Christian folks and others. You know, they don't care about that. But yeah, the Third Temple is in view in to some extent, but not for revisionist Zionists. It's, you know, part of a bigger
So they're using it as like a honeypot to lure everyone into the yeah, kumbaya fireside.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah. The video that I'm thinking of is an Insider News video on YouTube titled Body Cam Video Shows Intense Shootouts Between Israel and Hamas, which I can't hardly even say without laughing. Body cam video show intense shootouts between Israel and Hamas. It's ridiculous. Or the Inquirer video, missile hits tower behind journalist while reporting in Gaza, which reminds me of Building 7 collapsing while BBC reporters are, you know, while they're talking about it collapsing, you know, after it collapsed. Wait a minute. Hold on. Anyway, we got the timing right on this one, though. Missile hits
scary
tower.
To see how easily people are fooled. I appreciate your time and a great show.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate your observations and remarks. All right, so back to the phones. In the interest of time, James in Vancouver. See, if we were all that, if we're all paying attention like Jay in Los Angeles, we'd, gosh, who knows what could happen. James, how are you?
Yeah.
Good morning, sir.
Rain in here likes cats and dogs. Mazzini was a high-level mason in Italy.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about him here is he was a British intelligence agent, a revolutionary terrorist, and founder of Young Europe and Young Italy, a network of revolutionary groups designed to cause chaos around the world, which eventually grew to include Young America, Young Russia, Young Bosnia, Young Turks, and B'nai B'rith. So Pike and Mazzini were at the same level,
mm-hmm.
of course, at the top. And at that time, of course, the industry was growing, and the drop forge for cannon barrels was, coming into play. And wars, of course, were created all throughout thousands of years. So this was a textbook kind of thing. As you just mentioned, the betrayal part where we set people up to fight in Russia with the Mujahideen, right? And then we dumped mm-hmm. them. And we did that in Vietnam, too, really. We set up South Vietnam, and we dumped them, you see.
Yep.
So this is how it goes, and this is the architecture of these wars. And
I think part of the reason it works so well is because we're so horrified. There's a sense of guilt somewhere, underlying guilt, that we don't want to confront the reality. And so we conveniently forget history, even those who may have been, a part of it.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, I don't think it's the Temple on the Mount that they want to build as much as they want to get as many countries into the conflagration as possible.
Amen.
I believe this is what their motivation is to get a real Third World War going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All righty.
Honestly, that sort of reminds me of that letter again. Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
much appreciated.
Well, right. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye. Thanks.
There's another interesting point from the preface of this book, The Cause of World Unrest. Maybe I'll start there tomorrow. The distinction between those, there's this group of people, man, these characters, and boy, they're at the heart of controversy all over, and I think there are reasons why that we don't acknowledge. Anyway, that's vague. I'll probably clarify tomorrow. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.